Now, before I get into my message today, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. When I was growing up, I didn't really have any church background. My dad was in the military, and we moved a lot, and I think we might have gone to 4 or 5 Easter services growing up. But I always felt like I should be in some kind of relationship with God. I just didn't know how. So anyway, my senior year in high school, it was in August, right before we were starting football practices. I can remember I was doing a bench press and had a guy spotting me. And there were two guys that were witnessing to another guy, you know, in our weight room there. And I could mention names, but I won't. But he wasn't really interested. But I could kind of hear what was going on. So as soon as they were done talking to him, I said, "Hey, you guys, come over here and tell me what you just told him." And they shared with me basically the plan of salvation. And I said, "You know what, that sounds really good. What do I do?" And they told me to pray, you know, ask Jesus into my heart, confess my sins. And I said, "Okay, let's do it." So right there on that bench, I accepted Christ at 17 years old. And the reason I tell you that story, because that was the very first time I had ever heard how to become a Christian. It wasn't like I'd heard the story 37 times and had just, you know, sloughed it off. So you never know when maybe you're going to have the opportunity to talk to that person and it'll be the first time they've ever heard about how to get saved. And they might take you up on it. But who are they really taking up on it is God. Now the title for my message is, "If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat." Or the subtitle would be, "Who are you going to believe?" So our scripture reference is in Matthew 14, 25 through 32. "And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost!' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter said to him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and looked and took hold of him and said to him, 'Ye of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped." All right, I want you to think about being in that boat. Now, their boats were powered by oars and, you know, sails. Now, I can remember growing up, we had a 13-foot Boston Whaler. It was a good fishing boat. But we had been out, and somewhat like here in northern Alabama, the storms can come up just like that. And I was about 8 miles from the harbor, and a storm came up, and I was with two of my friends. And we had a 40-horsepower motor on that thing, so we could get there pretty quick. And I would say that was about the longest 20 minutes I ever had in my life. Because the river was pitching. The wind was blowing, it was raining. You couldn't have got me out of that boat for anything. I wanted land, and I wanted it really, really quickly. So I can't even imagine what it would be like to be out there. And it says fear was on them. Yeah, I know what that feels like. And one thing about fear is sometimes it paralyzes us, just absolutely paralyzes us. And this scripture is not up there, but that's in, I don't remember if it's 1st or 2nd Kings. It's in 2nd Kings in chapter 7, and it starts in verse 3, and it says, "Now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate, and they said to one another, 'Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we die. And if we sit here, we die also.' So now let us come over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army. So they said to one another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us." So they fled away into the twilight, abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent, and they ate, they drank, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then it came back and entered another tent and carried off things from it and went and hid them." Good thing. Why do we sit here? Why sit we here till we die? That's kind of being paralyzed by fear. And I know you guys know what I'm talking about, because it's when you're so afraid, you don't do anything. Now, in this case, I won't go through the rest of it, but the leper said, "You know, what we're doing is not right." And they went and told the king and the city. And then everybody from the city came out, and their famine was over, because they were able to take all the spoils and et cetera from there. So I want you to think about anything right now that might paralyze you in fear. John Ortberg, and he wrote a book that says if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. Ralph and I talked briefly about that a few weeks ago. But he made a statement in that says, "There's always a call. God asks an ordinary person to engage in an act if extraordinary trust, that of getting out of the boat. There is always fear. God has an inextinguishable habit of asking people to do things that are scary to them." And you know, when I read that, I thought, how would you like to have been Ananias when you get a visit and says, "Hey, I want you to go talk to this guy, Paul." What'd you say? "Paul. Isn't he the guy that's been persecuting Christians, beating them up? Some have died? Yeah, that's the guy. And you're sure you want me to go talk to him?" Yeah, you need to be the one to go talk to him. "I don't want to." You know, can you imagine being in that situation? I'm not sure I would have wanted to. So I have asked a question to people, and the answer is real simple. What if Ananias said no? Well, the answer is God would have found somebody else. But I know that I don't ever want to be the person that God asked, and I say no, and then he's got to go find somebody else. You know, I don't want fear of being able to step out to stop me from doing that. Because it can really be a bad thing. Now, in that song, the first verse in it says, "Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, 'Boy, you'll never win.'" You guys ever been in a situation like that where you know you need to step out, but in your mind you're going, "It's never worked for me before. You know, I'm not the kind of person that can do that. That doesn't work for me. And basically, it's fear. Okay, I have lots of stories, so here comes another one. When I was in high school, I played football, and we were like the smallest school in the largest division in the state. Some schools had more people in one class than we had in our whole school. I played center on offense and defensive tackle, and I weighed 170 pounds, about five less than I weigh now. No, I wish it was five less. I will tell you this, out of every game that I played in, the guys across from me generally weighed at least 50 pounds more than I did. And it wasn't just me, it was our whole offensive line that was that way. So every game we would go into that, and I didn't even get to practice against big guys because all of us were small. So I went into my first game and I had fear. You know, I had lots of fear. But my dad told me, he said, well, hit him before he hits you. And I thought, well, that sounds like a good idea. And you know what? It worked. And after that game, I didn't have that fear anymore of playing against people that weighed 50 pounds more than me. The toughest guy I played all year probably weighed 20 pounds less than me. And he was so fast, I haven't touched him yet. You know? But I went into that and I gained confidence as I saw that I had success. Now, babies take one step and they might fall. Then next time they may take two steps and fall, maybe five. But as they start having success, their confidence builds up. Well, not only can we have confidence in the things that we do, but we have confidence in Christ. This next screen says, but the voice of truth tells me a different story. It doesn't tell me that I can't win. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth said, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. And we're going to talk in a little bit about some of the things the voice of truth says. Okay. I'm not going to read all of these verses in 1 Samuel because everybody knows the account. By the way, I don't like to call them stories. I like to call them accounts because sometimes when you say it's a Bible story, well, there's also nursery rhymes that are stories, but they're not true. So that's why I like to call them account. But this is the account of David and Goliath. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits is 9 feet. So if I was standing here and Goliath was standing out there, we would have probably been eye to eye. That's a big dude. That's a bigger dude than anybody I ever played in football, I know that. Can you imagine how imposing that would be? And this guy wants to fight you. I'd be looking for the exit signs, I think. But these Philistines were threatening to take over Israel. I'll tell you a little bit more about him. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And I had the note, and I didn't bring it with me as to what that weight is. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. and his shield bearer went before him. And he stood out and he shouted to the ranks of Israel, why have you come out to draw, why have you come out to draw up for battle? I am not a Philistine, and you are not servants of Saul. Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me, and if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11, when Saul and Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. There's that word again. What is it? Afraid. Now we go to verse 16. For 40 days the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. And then in verse 32, the last part of it and following, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. And then David goes on and talks about how he has killed bears and lions. And in verse 36, this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the power of the lion and the power of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. And then in verse 39, the last half of it, so David put them off. And what it's talking about is the armor that they equipped him with and, you know, what he needed for battle. But he had never worn them before. He wasn't used to them, so he took it off. In verse 40, he then took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked out and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds, to the air, and to the beast of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Wow. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all the assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Who's the battle for? The Lord. So when you get that fear and you're afraid, somebody else has your back. You know, we've been hearing that a lot in our elders' meetings and our Board of Governors' meetings, just letting others know that if you don't get it, we got your back. And I think Scott started that, but it's kind of picked up. And when uncertainties are going on, or there's something that's happening, or something needs to be addressed, we got your back. I just want to let you know, as a congregation, that the elders and the governing board, we have your back. Now, the second verse in that song says, Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of 1,000 warriors shaking in their armor, wishing that they had the strength to stand, but the giant's calling out my name, and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. See, that's what happens when we rely on our own devices. And sure, we've all failed before, and we'll fail again. Doesn't make us a loser, though. Doesn't mean we'll never win. And it never means that when we're supposed to step out of the boat, that we're going to lose. But the stone was just the right size to put the giant on the ground. And the waves, they don't seem so high. From on top of them, looking down, I will soar with the wings of eagles when I stop and listen to the sound of Jesus singing over me. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Now we're in back in Saul. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hands in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. So everybody else in Saul's army was afraid. And then it was a boy that said, I got to step out of the boat. And he stepped out of the boat knowing that even though he could see those waves lapping, as it talked about figuratively, or saw that giant of a man, he knew that God had his back. So we'll talk a little bit about some others that believed and got out of the boat. So it says Noah, but there's a problem. He didn't get out of the boat. He got in the boat. He heard from God and he did what he was supposed to, what God told him to do. Moses. What about Moses made him incapable of being a great leader? For number one, he couldn't speak very well. He wasn't very eloquent. You know, didn't have a lot of confidence when it came to that. Now, Greg stole some of my thunder last week when he talked about the great believers in Hebrews chapter 11. And those are believing heroes. And those are folks that stepped out of the boat. There are countless other examples. You can think of Daniel in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stepped out of the boat, but they didn't know what the outcome was going to be. Because remember, the king asked them, he said, can your God save you from this burning, fiery furnace? And they answer says he can, but even if he does, we're still not going to bow. Now, that's really stepping out of the boat. You know? But they knew that God was eternal with that. So I want to ask you today, what's your boat? What's the boat that you need to get out of? What are you confronted or faced at? Who's that giant standing before you laughing at you? And you know, when you step out of the boat believing God, you may not always get the answer that you want, but you get the answer that God wants you to have. And if you can learn to trust in that and trust the voice of truth. These are just a few verses, and again, I left one out, so I'll go from memory on some of it. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. That's in Romans 8:37. So what are all these things that He talks about? Well, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, Romans 8:36, what's the answer to that? Nothing. No. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. And then a verse you guys all know, Philippians 4:13, I'm able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be not dismayed. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you always. So when you tremble and you're in dismay, that generally means you're going through what emotion? Fear. All right, there's a lot of things that we could have fear right now. We don't have a pastor. We're going through a pastoral search. And there can be some fear associated with that. You know, well, how long is it going to be? I know the answer to that. However long it takes. I have told, and I know the elders in agreement with me on this, but, you know, I've told them that I have a vision of this church being vibrant and growing even during this transition period. We don't have to have a pastor to do that. Does that separate us from the love of Christ, the fact that we don't have a pastor right now? Does that make I can do all things through Christ null and void because we don't have a pastor? No. Now you got a group of people who really care about you and love you that are trying to make that into effect. And, you know, I told Tristan a couple of times, I don't tell him enough how much I appreciate him. Because you do a great job with the worship team, and you just always seem right on with the songs that you choose, and always appropriate. Yep, you ask God. You ask God. So I want to take a few minutes right now. I want to make it available for you guys to get out of the boat. And we're going to have people that'll pray with you, that will believe with you that you can get out of the boat, but it requires you to step. You've got to take that first step. You want to go ahead and come on up, Tristan, and start on that, and we'll talk about that. We've got worship, or him, Tristan up here singing. If you'd like to come pray about something, please do. And we've got men and women that will pray with you over it. If there's something that's preventing you from getting out of that boat. Take that step, folks. Take that step. And what's the giant standing before you that says he's going to cut off your head? And what prevents you from doing it? Fear. Let us pray with you so you don't have that fear Go ahead, whenever you're ready.